8:32 the time, 28 minutes before 9 o'clock on a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Thank you for being here this morning. We have been all morning long talking about the art exhibit being taken down over at the Wells Fargo Gallery. We have with us this morning, as we do each and every Thursday, and we're glad for that, is our mayor. Sue Kemp steps in for a conversation. Good morning, Mayor Kemp.
Good morning, Ed. Beautiful day here, as usual.
It is a spectacular day here. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for being here. I'm not sure if you heard the earlier portion of the program. I do know that you are somewhat familiar with an art exhibit that was put up by artist Allison Allen to celebrate Black History Month. There were 8 or 9 pieces that I saw, none of them offensive in any way, yet that art exhibit was pulled down by Wells Fargo because they had received 1 or 2 complaints about the art being aggressive. Do you know anything about it?
Well, we were notified about that last night, I think from a resident, and you know, we're an arts community. We have all kinds of diverse art in this town, and I can't for the life of me understand why that would be a problem.
Right. So we've been given out the number over at Wells Fargo, corporate responsibility at Wells Fargo. And there's nothing the city council can do, right?
No, I don't. I think it's outside our purview. We can discuss it and, you know, express our opinion on it. But, you know, really, I don't know who's responsible for taking it down. If Wells Fargo took it down, I assume they did since it's their building. But, you know, it's just improper. And, you know, it just lacks awareness of the world and that we're a lot of different people in this world. And we all look at things differently. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with art? Or an arts community? Sometimes you don't like it. Sometimes you do. It depends on your taste and what your beliefs are. But art is art. So people should be able to express themselves.
Right. Well, we'll keep you in tune. I've got feelers out to as many people as I can to discuss this. I've given out the email address for Wells Fargo, and that's corporateresponsibility@wellsfargo.com. Can we talk about Tuesday night for a second? I noticed that the city clerk had reported that 30 applications were received for the 19 committee openings. I noticed also that the View Restoration Committee received fewer applications than the available openings. Is it possible to maybe slide some of those extras over to the View Restoration Committee?
Yeah, we've done that in the past where we've queried some applicants that may have applied for, you know, multiple committees. And, you know, if they don't get selected for one, we ask, you know, would you be willing to serve on the View Restoration Committee? The View Restoration Committee is an easy committee to serve on. I don't think they have that many meetings. Kind of the process is if you have a view dispute, it goes to a mediator first. And most of those issues are resolved in mediation. So the ones that go to the View Restoration are ones that are typically, you know, issues where they haven't quite come to a resolution and needs another, next step in the process. So I would encourage people to, if they don't get selected, to move over to the View Restoration Committee. You'll learn a lot, too. So we'll see, Ed. You know, we'll see how we can shift people around. But, you know, our committees, I think I said this last time, our committees, boards and commissions are great. Our residents are great that serve on there, and they learn a lot about the city. So we'll try to work it out.
Right. Everyone that wants to be on a committee, they genuinely care about the city, and they work really hard to do a great job. So I often find that right after we've selected people for these different committees, yeah, they're doing bang up jobs. A question about the March 4th, 2022 strategic planning session. Is that going to be open to the public?
Yeah, our strategic planning sessions are always open to the public. I don't know. We're going to try to do our meeting in person. It kind of depends on COVID. Right now, we're planning to do it in person. Okay. If we can't, I don't think anybody wants to sit there for 8 hours with a mask on the council. And right. I think it's more comfortable if we didn't have to. And I also recognize that people working in businesses are wearing masks all day long. So we'll do what we need to do, but it will be open to the public. I don't know whether it'll be in person or Zoom. We'll have to wait till a little closer to the date to kind of see where we are with the virus.
Okay. All right. We talked on Tuesday night. We talked about the city operated in-house ambulance transport service, and we got a budget rundown. It's going to cost an additional $1.3 million annually to staff this.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to start that at the beginning of the new fiscal year, which starts in July. So the reason we had to make a decision to get it through council is because we have to hire those ambulance operators and get them on board. And we have to do some training and get the equipment all ordered and set up. So we got the ambulances, I think in one of the prior council meetings, we leased or bought. I think we leased 3 more ambulances. So we're ready with the ambulances, but we've got to get the equipment in. We've got to hire the people and get it going.
Okay. And we've purchased 3 Lucas chest compression systems and 3 Power Pro gurneys at about $48,000, $49,000 and $48,000 respectively. I always wonder when I see those things, I'm like, I wonder how much those things cost. They are pricey.
They're pricey, but let me tell you, those chest compression, the new equipment, and the fire department has given us kind of a run through of how those things work, and they can't say enough good things about the life saving opportunity they have with that equipment. So, for example, you know, if you go up to, you get a call that someone's had a heart issue or something, and they live in, you know, one of our typical multi-story houses in Laguna. So you take a gurney up there, and these guys, you know, have to carry people down in the gurney. They can put that chest compression thing right on them so that they don't have to do the compression while going down the stairs. The machine does it for them, and it does it very well. So these are the kind of things that, you know, are going to be really advantageous for us to have more of this type of equipment on our ambulances and on our fire trucks.
It is quite literally the difference between life and death. It really is.
It absolutely is.
All right. And do we have a target date for when we'll be operating, for when ambulance number one rolls through City of Laguna Beach? Do we have a target date?
Yeah, we have to do it by July 1st because I think our contract with doctors runs out then. So okay. We got to be up and running by then. I think we will be.
Okay.
I also think meaning that we have a kind of a readiness check in June to see kind of where we are, but I have every confidence they'll be ready to go.
Excellent. Item 11 was the resolution establishing the policy for city council meetings and agenda items. It was a hot item, kicked around a lot. I'd like for you, if you wouldn't mind, to explain the item to our listeners and why it was necessary to reaffirm something that's already on the books.
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, I've been on the council, this is my 4th year. We've never had an issue with putting things on the agenda. And I don't think, you know, in the past, I don't think it's been a problem. But what we did was it was kind of a messy discussion in a way. But what we did was kind of reaffirm the process so that everybody on the council and the public can understand how you actually get things on the agenda and what it actually means. So the process is, and always kind of has been, that at least in the last 10 years, is that if you want to put something on the agenda, you give like a 2-line description. I think that gets turned into our city clerk, Anne-Marie McKay, and that can go on the agenda. And then the council can decide yes or no whether they want to spend any time, money, or resources on it. And if we get if we get 3 votes, up or down, it either goes up or down. It just depends on where the votes go. But then that way, it makes more sense because we can look at it in kind of the context of everything else the city is doing and everything else the council has directed staff to do. And does it make sense to the community? Does it make it safer? Does it save us money? You know, a range of issues that need to be looked at. And then we can make a decision as a council what we want to do. So, you know, we have to work efficiently in this town. We can't just, right, you know, just work on anything as it comes up. So right. I think it'll be a good process. And, you know, you may or may not win if you put it on the agenda, but that's the way it goes. That's how democracy works.
Right, and it keeps the council focused. It's a matter of focus, not to get, you know, not to go for the shiny object every once in a while. You know,
and
in discussing this, I heard the term, and allow me for a moment, if you will. I heard the term power grab a lot, and during the public communication, our city manager Sheree Dupuy got beaten up pretty much during public communication, and I thought to myself, I'm thinking, if John Pettig or Ken Frank were city manager under the same exact circumstances, I wonder if there would be an uproar from the segment of the community, and would they use terms like that with her. Do me a favor and explain to the audience the importance of the work that Sheree Dupuy does for the council and for the city.
Well, first of all, Sheree Dupuy is a very good city manager, and she's extremely experienced, and we're lucky to have her. So, you know, when I hear those kind of things, the first thing I personally think of is a lack of understanding of what the city manager's job is. You know, I ran big organizations, and I ran a company, and so, you know, I'm very familiar with the difficulty of managing, you know, multiple organizations, and she's got the public, and she's got to worry about the 5 of us, and she's got to worry about regulatory. She has to worry about public safety, budgets. You know, she has a huge job. And so, you know, I'm very understanding that when she brings something forward that, you know, she's got a lot to handle. Sheree is a very approachable person. So, you know, if I need help from her, or if I have a question, I'll just call her. You know, I'll call her every day if I need to about whatever my question might be. But I find her very approachable. And, and I don't always agree with the city manager, but most of the time I can work with them. And the thing is, as a council member, you need to be able to work with the city manager. Trying to, you know, put the city manager off to the side or be hypercritical of the city manager all the time, it's not going to help the city one iota.
Right.
So you just have to understand her role. I mean, I wouldn't be a city manager for $1 million if you get that. I mean, it's a super hard job, and especially in an engaged community like this where everybody has an opinion. She's got to keep both of her feet on the ground and make sure that the city runs well. So,
not for $1 million, really?
I mean, really, Ed, I'm serious. Not for $1 million. It's a hard, hard job.
Yeah, it is. It
and
is.
I think she does it with a lot of grace. And she's getting, you know, a lot of support in the community because she works directly with a lot of community people. She, when I send her a note and there's a community issue, she's always responsive. And that's what, as a council member, I'm looking for. If I have an issue from a resident or a number of residents and it needs to be addressed, I send it to her and she works on it. So that's, you know, that's what I'm asking for as a city manager.
Right. A good working relationship and understanding the role. That's what it is.
That's right.
All right. If you would, but I'm going to circle back to the art exhibit really fast before I let you go. Are you intending in any way maybe to talk to Sean Poschel or maybe reach out, put your feelers out and find out what we as a community can do?
So definitely. I mean, I'm the liaison to the Arts Commission, so I work with Sean all the time, and so I will call her today. Okay. That's on my list of things to do, and I'll kind of get the backstory on it.
Excellent. I would beg you to go ahead and keep me in touch, keep me in that loop, if you don't mind, so I can keep our listeners in the loop.
I will.
Thank you. As always, we appreciate your time. I know it's valuable, and we thank you for being with us on the air. Mayor Sue Kempf, am I forgetting anything before we go?
Enough, Ed.
We already know. Now we know that she doesn't have a price. $1 million is not the price for her. Mayor Sue Kempf, thank you so much for your time with us this morning.
Thanks, Ed. Fun as usual.
Thank you. 8:44 the time on the Mornings with Ed Show.